الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. عن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قام فينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: ألا إن من كان قبلكم من أهل الكتاب افترقوا على 72 ملة، وإن هذه الأمة ستفرق على 73، 72 في النار وواحدة في الجنة، وهي الجماعة. رواه احمد وابو داود. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دور شيخ الله، اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, before continuing on the subject of signs of Qiyamah, and a lot of people were looking forward to the coming of Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala an, but for surely he will come inshallah ta'ala. But before continuing on the subject of the signs of Qiyamah, I would want to elaborate on the specific word that is generally used by some of the scholars on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. It is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, generally the date that is attributed to the birth of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a difference of opinion. I personally feel that the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the 9th of Rabiul Awwal. But in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, it is famously accepted as Barwi Wafat, they say, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Alhamdulillah, some of the scholars have the opinion of the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and some of the scholars say it's the 9th of Rabiul Awwal. The word is Miladun Nabi. Miladun Nabi, a word that we have all heard of. Milad is an Arabic word. The meaning of Milad is birth, the birth of an individual. Miladun Nabi would be translated in its full context as the birthday of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before going deep into the subject, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we all have the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We can accept and tolerate any form of abuse thrown to us. One can swear to the parents, one can physically abuse us, one can make sabr. But there is one thing that the Muslim cannot tolerate, is disrespecting Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You have seen and I have seen as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have Muslims who only frequent the masjid once in a week just to perform Jummah Salat. We have Muslims who frequent the masjid perhaps once or twice in a year just to perform the Eid prayers. We have Muslims who don't know how to read the Quran. We have Muslims who don't even know 2 surahs of the Quran. We have Muslims who have never performed Hajj or Umrah. Muslims who are perhaps Muslims just by name. But alhamdulillah, when it comes to the status and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam flows in the blood, in the veins, like how blood flows in every Muslim, whether male or female, mard ho ya aurat ho. Alhamdulillah. We sometimes underestimate people. We feel that, oh mashallah, because he is wearing a jabba, has a long beard, he has an amama. So he has deep love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And maybe he has. And sometimes some people who may not dress up in that way, the Islamic code of dressing, but subhanallah al-azim, maybe he is more dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a lot of people who are in the masajid. But again, that would not mean that we sort of stay back and neglect a lot of the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made farz and wajib upon the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally, every mu'min, every Muslim, mu'min, mu'mina, Muslim or Muslima, will have the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To have the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only natural. So when you say La ilaha illallah, the most natural part that connects with La ilaha illallah is only Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in naturally. So in the hadith, when you hear from scholars, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even the hadith where Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala la ilaha illallah, anyone who testifies that there is no God but Allah, dakhal al jannah, he will enter Jannat. There is no mentioning of the risalah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no need, because when you say la ilaha illallah, in la ilaha illallah, the entire Islam comes in. It's like one saying, "Bhai Surah Fatiha parlo." Surah Fatiha. What is Fatiha? The entire Surah Fatiha. Surah Ikhlas parlo Ikhlas. 1 pound per head. 1 pound per head. Saying the head, physically, it's talking about the whole body. So when you say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the natural part of that kalima. No doubt that the most honorable and blessed occasion in the entire human history was at the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was as if though the doors of Jannat were opened up for the entire humanity in the most unprecedented way, no doubt. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has mentioned, Khayrul quruni qarni, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. The best period, the best of time is the time in which I lived. Khayrul quruni qarni. Behtareen zamana, mera zamana hai. Thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum, then the tabi'een and then the tabi tabi'een. There is no doubt when for the first time eyes fell on the auspicious face of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah al-Azim. The words of Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an must have echoed all around Makkah Mukarramah. When he beautifully in his poem, in his ash'ar, had mentioned, Wa ahsanu minka lam tara qattu ayni. وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَتْتُ عَيْنِي. No eye has seen anything that was more beautiful than the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is even no doubt in the beautiful words mentioned in the kutubs of Seerah. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an Khalifa Awwal, the foundation of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is based on that. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, in describing the beauty of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself, Allah, created Jannah. And it seemed that the entire Jannah that Allah created was visible on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr would say that sighting the auspicious face of Rasulullah was like dwelling in Jannatul Firdaus. Subhanallah al-Azim. This is what the companions saw in the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Incredible love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When news was broken to him that Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, at that time he was far away from Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. When he came back, it is said that when a messenger went to him and said to him that Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and lifted up his hands and he said, Allahumma ij'alni zarira. Allah, today you can make me blind. Allah, today you can make me blind. For today that eye is no good which cannot sight the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the deep love that the companions had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is even true what Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written in his kitab. He says that to cite four things will only increase an individual, or will only heal that individual physically and spiritually. In his kitab he has written that. Char cheezo ko dekhna insaan ke jism ke liye shifa hai. It is a healing for the human body just to see the four items. The great Sufi Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that. He says to cite Khana-e-Kaaba, one. To cite the Rauza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in itself is a healing, is shifa. To cite and to see the pages of the Holy Quran, don't have to even read it, just to see the Holy Quran. And finally, the fourth category is to cite the faces of pious people in itself is also a healing. Ichar cheeze, subhanallah al-azim. There is no doubt. The status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar. Abul Anbiya, Ibrahim Khalilullah, whose position when it comes to the ranking of the prophets, second position is given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, even before Musa alayhi salam, even before Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Abul Anbiya, second highest a ranking is given to him after Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is known as Abul Anbiya. When Allah commanded him to construct Khana Kaaba, to build Khana Kaaba with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam, after the completion of Khana Kaaba, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam stood up on the chhat, on the rooftop of Khana Kaaba at that time, and he lifted up his hands and made dua exclusively for the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is recorded in the Quran. Every word of that dua which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam made whilst his son at that time was saying Ameen, standing on top of Khana Kaaba, exactly like when Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Mukarrama. He told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and to stand up on the rooftop of Kaaba and to give azan, to declare Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah. Subhanallah. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam made a dua, Rabbana wab'ath bihim rasula yatlu alayhim ayatik. O Allah, send one messenger. Unanimously all the Mufassireen say that one messenger is none other than Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deep connection which Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam had with Makkah Mukarrama, no other prophet had. He was born there in Makkah Mukarrama. The dua was accepted, subhanallah, in such a way that from the two sons of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, the Mufassireen say that only from the progeny of Ishaq alayhi salatu was salam, Allah had sent 70,000 Anbiya. How many? 70,000. That is after Ibrahim alayhi salam, after Ishaq alayhi salam, from his progeny 70,000 prophets were sent. And in the Quran we only have the mentioning of some of the companions, 25 or so. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many, many messengers for the guidance of mankind. Many. Even in America, even in some remote areas, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam was sent. Not Rasul perhaps, but Nabi. Not Rasul, not with Risalat, not with Sharia, but with revelation, with ahkam, with commandments. And in the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, how many messengers? None. Exclusively, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's lineage was reserved for the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Exclusively. And inshallah, maybe next week we will talk about the mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Hajar. Hazrat Hajar, not Hazrat Hajira. Hajira is not a name. Hazrat Hajar. We say Hajra, Hajra is wrong. It's only Hajar. She was the mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Who was she? Who was she? She was not a slave. She was not a slave. But inshallah, we will talk about that next week when we talk about the coming of Imam al-Mahdi radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam ki aulad mein Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No doubt the lofty status and position given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. When he was born clean and pure. Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ana wulidtu mutahhara. Ana wulidtu mutahhara. I was born in the most pure condition. After coming in this world, subhanallah, the leader of all the angels, who is he? Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah commanded Jibrail alayhi salatu wasalam to come down and to stand in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to give salam to Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After giving salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in some of the kutubs it is written that all the malaika, all the angels in the heavens were commanded to come down and greet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is the condition when Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. Exactly a repeat at the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No individual person, there was no jama'at in the form of Salatul Janazah that we perform. Individually, first all the malaika, the angels came. All the angels performed in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After which individually the companions came and performed until everyone had made dua for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and only after that he was taken to the Rawza and where sallallahu alayhi wasallam is resting today. Same position, same tarteeb. How he was born when he came to this world and also the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the question is, my respected brothers and elders, every Muslim has deep love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is our responsibility on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? What is the responsibility given to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What are we to do? Are we to follow the path of jahil people, people who make bid'ah? Are we to follow the same pattern which is visible in India and Pakistan, a lot of the areas today? On the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, subhanallah, candles are lit, the masjid, the madaris are adorned, decorated with fancy colored lights throughout the night. Allahu Akbar, different colors, lights shining. Are we to do the same thing, to march on the streets, to mark the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we to hoist different colored flags on the rooftops of madaris, makatib and the masajid? You go to Pakistan, I have been to Pakistan. Wherever you go, each group will have their own flag, each group. Pakistan has one of its own flags. But then from the flags of Pakistan, there are another 50, 60 or even more, 100 flags that are there. Kitne flags? Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is Jahiliya. And this is how the shaitan takes you out from the straight path, from following the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question is, what is our responsibility? What are we to do on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal? Allahu Akbar. Nabuwat was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 40. Before Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned 40, he was known as Muhammad bin Abdullah. Muhammad bin Abdullah. At the age of 40, everyone knew him as Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His demise from this world was at the age of 63. Aap parda kar gaye dunya se, 63, 63 saal ki umar. A total period of 23 years. Nabuwat was given to him for 23 years. Subhanallah. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself witnessed 23 times the coming of Rabi'ul Awwal. He himself witnessed the coming of the 12th or the 9th of Rabi'ul Awwal at least 23 times. But nowhere in the hadith do we find even the slightest trace where Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might have commanded to the companions that because it is my birthday, because Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on this day, these are the rituals that you have to do. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. Allahu Akbar. 23 years, not a single trace. Rabiul Awwal came and Rabiul Awwal went. Subhanallah. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1.25 lakh companions were still alive. 1.25 lakh. 30 years of Khulafai Rashideen. After sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving this world, 30 years of the period of Khulafai Rashideen. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Usman and Hazrat Ali. 30 years they ruled. That period was the of the Khulafai Rashideen. Not a single, even a hint is found of this word which is known as Miladun Nabi. Or to Allahu Akbar, jubilate or to show joy on this day. How can we do it? Because according to some of the scholars, even the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Allahu Akbar Kabir. 110 years from the hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companions were still alive. Companions were still alive. For that period of time, 110 years, not a single companion on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal can one find an account in the history books, in the seerah or the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby these innovations, this bid'ah, Allahu Akbar, was ever found, or the companions would gather in the masajid and food would be distributed, the fuqara would be there specifically on this day, on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and this celebration, Milad, would take place. The qiyam, the standing up in Milad, would take place. Don't take me wrong, my respected brothers, no doubt that on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal to mention the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the blessing, is a blessing for the ummah. One is seerah and one is Milad. As Muslims, our duty is to look at the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Seerah is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not a single companion. I have to say this, why, my respected brothers? I feel that a lot of our masajid, alhamdulillah, our scholars don't talk on the level where one would consider it to be sort of a debate with other denominations of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that will cause differences, commotion in between the communities. But to my best knowledge, every time some of the neighboring masajid on the big days and on the events, the only information they pass to the public is, be careful. Those people are Wahhabis, those people are kuffar, they don't believe in Rasulullah, they disrespect Rasulullah, they don't believe in Awliyaullah, and the brain, Allahu Akbar, only is bombarded with this. Brain is bombarded. Naturally, when the people go home, they hate those people who perform salah in other masajids, in Masjid Umar or Jamia Masjid, Masjid Nur or wherever. Why? Because the information that is fed to them, given to them, is that they don't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They don't stand up for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They stand up for someone who holds a high position in this world, but they don't stand up for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And constantly they are bombarded. Constantly. In fact, the layman even will know of the names of the famous scholar. Some people have the audacity to say, Thanvi said that. Referring to the great Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Rahmatullah alayhi. Allahu Akbar. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And I feel partly even our scholars are to be blamed. Why? Because to create a balance, when you have a team that is going to prosecute something, you need a defense team. Even in a simple game of football, if you have people who are going to go forward, your center forward, is it? Then you also need the defense. But alhamdulillah, our scholars say, Tawakkul ala Allah, they will slowly learn and all that. But it's not that. Allahu Akbar. The shaitan is working, the layman, the public don't have this understanding. They don't know how to judge. When they go to that Maulana, they say, MashaAllah, this Maulana is right. When they go to that Maulana, they say, oh, that Maulana is right. Which Maulana is right? What do? They say, all the Maulanas are corrupt. Now, the Maulanas are not corrupt, yes. We are all human beings at the end of the day. Only Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam were free from major and minor sins. Allah has given us the intellect where we can judge what is right, what is wrong. Subhanallah, you want to buy something, the product is in front of you, the five senses come into action first, look at it. And then subhanallah, talk about it. Take experience that, is this a good product to buy? And then after that, come to a decision. In the same way, my respected brothers, I myself, the Imam of Masjid Umar, I am telling you today, I was a Barelvi myself. The same Barelvi, absolutely the same. But subhanallah, when the Quran and Hadith is in front of you, when you have this understanding that this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you hidayat. When Allah opens the door, yes, we are all sinners. I am not saying that they are, ma'azallah, inferior to us, no. I am just opening in front of you the level of understanding of the Quran and Hadith. and talking to you on the basis of Quran and Hadith, putting that Quran and Hadith as a medium forward. So it is easy for the youngsters that are here also to judge that what is right and what is wrong. The companions were free from bid'ah, from innovation. For them, it was not the milad, for them it was the seerah. They were of the firm opinion, they knew absolutely that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came in this world to transform, to purify the dirt and the filth and the impurities that was around at that time, not just in Arabia, but Allahu Akbar, globally, everywhere, in all the different parts of the world. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is rahmatul lil alameen. His nabuwat is not isolated only to the Arabian Peninsula. Some of the fuqaha say that it is even farz for the malaika to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the final messenger. Even for the angels. This is the status, the power, the glory given to him, the nabuwat that is given to him. They knew too well, my respected brothers, that Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam came for a mission. That is why when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam openly declared and preached to the people, invited them to Tawheed, the Kuffar, the Quraysh, the Meccans came and tried to bribe Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm using that word. And they said to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are prepared to take you as an Amir. We will give you the most beautiful lady of Arabia so you can marry. O Muhammad, we are prepared, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to take you or to make you the king of the Arabian Peninsula. We are prepared to make you the richest person in Arabia at that time, but with one condition, only one condition. Stop declaring La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to them? If you put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left hand, even then Muhammad Mustafa will not cease, will not stop from preaching and propagating the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions knew the mission. He did not come in this world to popularize the day of his birth. That was not the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The companions knew how the Christians deviated. For them, Christmas, the 25th of December, was in front of them. They knew exactly that even in Christianity, the biggest bid'ah innovation is Christmas Day. Never ever was this celebration of Christmas Day accepted by the Orthodox Christians. This bid'ah only came after 300 years of the ascension of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, 300 years after. And what is Christmas? Christ Mass. Mass from the word massive. This massive gathering for Christ, for Jesus. And Christmas, if that is it, Christ Mass becomes Christmas. Everyone is there on the 25th of December. When the scholars told the Christians that, what are you doing? This is wrong, this is not the teachings of Jesus. The public, the innovators, the bidatis said that there is no harm in celebrating the birthday of Jesus. Why are you stopping us? Are we doing anything wrong? We are just celebrating the birthday. But today that birthday is in no grip, it is out of proportion. On the 25th of December, pick up the newspaper, the very next day, the highest rate of fornication, 25th of December. The highest rape cases, 25th of December. The highest level of alcohol consumption, 25th of December. Accidents, 25th of December. What is 25th of December? The companions knew. Wallahi Nazeem, if it was justified to celebrate any individual's birthday, subhanallah al-azim, no other shakhsiyat, individual, is more worthy than Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, it would have been an Eid for the believers, like Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. It would have been the same. It would have been Eid. That is not the case. Absolutely not the case. Islam is not a religion like other religions. The companions knew that. The other religions heavily and entirely depend on festivals, rituals. Islam is a way of life. The only two celebrations, the celebration is the word in English. Islamically, the terminology is Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Even in Eid al-Fitr, in Eid al-Adha, the Muslims are not exempted from Salat, are they? Why? Because Islam is a way of life. Islam is a way of life. There is no stop. It is like the river that is flowing. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has to be there as the greatest example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example given to you is the example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uswa hasana. He is the greatest uswa, the best example. He came to transform. Some of the people came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, O Prophet of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no one in the Arabian Peninsula. Let me add something else. There is no one in this world from Adam alayhi salam till the last man who is more beautiful than Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, why did you want to marry and take as your first wife an old lady? A lady who is older than you 20 years. 20 years. She was 40. The first wife of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Why do you want to take as your first wife a widow? A widow. Kya wajah? You are from the Qurayshi tribe. Every Qurayshi lady is prepared to marry you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did you choose Khadijatul Kubra? What is the reason? Look how the transformation takes place. Practically, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made amal first to show the people. He said to the companions, I did not marry Khadijatul Kubra because of the wealth that she had. What is the wealth that Khadijatul Kubra had? The barakah that was given in the wealth of Khadijatul Kubra was because of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the wealth of Khadijatul Kubra when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah will, then the mountain of Uhud would follow me and Allah would turn that mountain full of gold. And it would follow me like how an imam makes ruku and the musalli go into ruku, and how the imam makes sujood, the musalli go into sujood. But that is not what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. Even marrying a wealthy woman, the life that he chose was, Allahu Akbar, the life of that poor person. Subhanallah al-Azim. He says, I did not marry Khadijatul Kubra because of any materialistic gains, or for any other reason, for my own desire. I married Khadijatul Kubra. I take her as my first wife for only one reason, to expel, to eradicate the old Arab tradition. The Arabs would mistreat the widows and those ladies who were divorced. The status of widows and divorced ladies was even worse than the animals that lived in Arabia at that time. They were shunned off, cut off from the mainstream city. They would live in some special area outside in the jungle. A society was made for them. All the widows were there. All the divorcees were there. Nobody would look at them. Allahu Akbar. And to break that tradition of jahiliyyah, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will want to marry a widow, Khadijatul Kubra. And all his wives were either divorcee or widow, except for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Why? For this transformation. To clean the filth that was there. It was a stigma for a lady to give birth to a female child. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam stood up and he declared that anyone who Allah blesses with daughters, If the father treats them well, feeds them, clothes them, gives them education, and marries them to a muttaqi person, the only jaza reward for that father is Jannah. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam himself only had 3 sons, and all of them who died at a very young age. Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Qasim radiallahu ta'ala. The progeny of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the lineage of Huzur alayhi salam runs from Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala and the eldest. Then comes Hazrat Ruqayya, then comes Hazrat Kulsum, the 2 wives of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and then Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and the youngest one who married Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Self-educated his daughters. Do we not hear about the tasbih of Fatima? Is that not education? That is nurturing Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and that is just one example in the right way. So the companions knew, my respected brothers, only too well, that the mission of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was not to publicize his milad, his birthday, but to publicize the seerah, the life, the good actions of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why the hadith read to you is narrated by Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says, Qama fina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of us, faqala, and he says, Ala inna man kana qablakum min ahli al-kitabi iftaraku ala sintayn wa sab'ina millah. We are talking on the subject of signs of Qiyamah, and this is again just a continuation to the signs of Qiyamah. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the people who came before you were divided into 72 groups. How many groups? 72. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ سَتُفَرَّقُ عَلَىٰ ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ. And my ummah will be divided into 73 groups. سِنْتَانِ وَسَبْعُونَ فِي النَّارِ مُسَبَعِ. 72 of them will go to Jahannam. 72 of them will go to Jahannam. مسجد عمر والے اللہ کرے ہم جنت میں جائے. وَوَاحِدَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And only one group from the 72, 73, one group will go to Jannat. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةُ. Who is that one? The one who follows the practice of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. The one who follows the teachings of the companions, who adopts the lifestyle of the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The time that we live in, Allahu Akbar, unfortunately, we Muslims don't even want to call ourselves as Sunni. We don't want to call ourselves as Sunni. We let the Barelvis, they bombard themselves and bombard us rather. They say they are the Wahhabis or the Tablighis. What are they? The Wahhabis or the Tablighis. And who are we? The Sunnis. And even I have seen local brothers here, when they talk, oh Mauli Sahab, you know that those Sunni people were talking like that. So I say to them, if they are Sunni, what are you, a Shia? If they are Sunni, what are you, a Shia? What are you? You are a Sunni, wake up! You are labeling the wrong person to be a Sunnah, wake up! When will you wake up? When the name is written on the board, okay, janaza namaz will be so and so after Zohar in the Leicester Cemetery. Who is a Sunni? Who is a Sunni? Who are the people who follow the companions? Who are the people who follow the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who are the people who read Durood Sharif like how the companions read Durood Ibrahim? What is happening? And we are there prepared to take all the abuse, all the abuse. All the abuse. You go to the masjid one day in Juma and you see the imam will have no other topic to talk on. Because why they are shallow when it comes to knowledge? Who can produce Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi? Who can produce Maulana Hussein Madani? Who? Look at the works of the scholars of Ulamai Deoband and the rest of the people. No Allahu Akbar, any reservations just for the scholars of Deoband. Look at the works. Look at the jaddo jihad that the scholars have done. It is easy to have a spicy tongue and to speak in a beautiful way. Mere aqa aaye to ye hua, wo hua, ye hua, nare takbir, Allahu Akbar, nare risalat ya Rasulullah. That is easy. That is easy. And all the people are moving. You see, like Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, when he is singing, you see people in the stage there, oh, standing up and throwing money to him. It is easy. This is how you mesmerize people. This is how you mesmerize people. Allahu Akbar. Oh, boharu bayanatu, mauli sahabu. Ahaha, hu bayanatu. Boharu hatu, hu bayanatu, boharu hatu, hu hatu. I don't know. Mosab ye bohari kirat namaz paraivi. Bohari fajr ni namaz. What time is the sun? Mosab hai? 20 past. Alright. Uj time hai ne? Alright. Okay, Mosab hai. Let me carry on. Right? He prays a very good kirat. What surah did he read in fajr? Oh, that I don't know, but the voice was exceptionally beautiful, huh? Very good. That's the problem with this. Allahu Akbar Kabira.
Subhanallah, and this is how the people come and take the people, the bunch away, big, fees and the shuyukh. I'm not denying any of that, but Allahu Akbar. If it is against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is why the great Imam Shafi'i would say that if I see someone performing namaz in the air, suspended up, and if I see that one sunnah is missing from him, I am prepared to label him as a shaitan but not as a wali. These were the people who had strong iman. They knew exactly the greatest miracle is the miracle of the Prophet to make amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are aiming, bombarding our youth, the young people. Allahu Akbar, we are Sunnis. We are not Tablighis. We are not Hanafis. Yes, we are in that way when you break everything up. But the root word is that we are Sunnis. We are the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are not Deobandis, we are nothing. We are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. When you break the words up, yes, we fall in different categories, whatever the person works into, that is fine. But the root word is that we are from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I have here some of the books. I want to read to you all the books, my respected brothers. This is a Sunni book. So I respect it here. This is the Barelvi books, the artificial Sunnis. And before, they didn't have any literature in English, but now they find it important to have some literature in English to target the youngsters. Here we have some literature, Siratul Muslimin, and I get it posted free of charge. Alhamdulillah, it's good. Just increases the knowledge, you know. Subhanallah. So these are some of the books. And open up any book. I've just got four books here. For an example, the first page here. It don't talk about how Hazrat Ali Islam ate, how Hazrat Ali Islam slept, how Hazrat Ali Salatu Wasalam, Subhanallah, made ghusl. But look at the first title. Can anybody read it? I'm going to stop. Can you, Musa by the way, let me read it to you. Who are these Devbandi Wahhabi people? Who are they? So a student in the university doing his A-level, he said, who are these Deobandi Wahhabi people? Then he'll read, no, Masjid Umar Wahhabi, yeah? This is Wahhabi. Oh man, I should stop going there. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And look at the accusation, the pinpoint. The Wahhabi leader says, I have come like a prophet to you. Do you think a man would say that, my respected brother? Do you think? What is that? That is taking bits out from, while not reading the whole context, just taking it out from the text. It's like the ayat of the Quran where Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Don't come close to salah. And I put it in front of you. The Quran says don't come close to the salah. But how? Don't come close to salah. What? وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَىٰ. If you are drinking alcohol, like in the early days it was, alcohol did not become haram straight away. Slowly, alcohol became haram. Allahu Akbar. Salman Rushdie's insult is not proved. But these Wahhabi people are worse than Salman Rushdie. What are they? Yes, that is the implication. That is the no proof of Kalma Sharif. That is what the Wahhabis are saying. That is what we are saying. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There will be Wahhabi kalima. Listen to this. Our kalima. Our kalima is La ilaha illallah Ashraf Ali Rasulullah. And they will say to you, no. Read the kitabs. I have someone who was talking to me. Some people have this quality, you know, they can speak. And he talks to me, very arrogant man, talking to me. Oh, this, I can prove it to you. But do you know the basis of the Arabic language? No, I don't know that, but I know what I'm talking about. In the Arabic. And this is how it all works. So, people who are lay people, laymen, if a magazine comes to them, what happens is that now the indoctrination starts. The indoctrination starts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq. Allah has given us guidance that we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we not have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Don't we have the utmost respect for awliyaullah? Do we not relate the stories of anbiya, awliya, sahaba-i kiram ajma'in? And subhanallah, the only way these people win the hearts of people is by making their own translations. What is it? Own translation. This is, look at this book title, like as if it's a boxing match. Al-Sunnah versus the Wahhabi doctrine. Al-Sunnah. And if you read it, it's nothing, absolutely nothing. It's full of black ink. Full of black ink. Many Puriyas. Good from Al-Miniyat. Literally. And look at the Aqeedah they hold. The evidence of the omnipresence of Rasulullah. Huzur alayhi salam is Hafiz Nazir. What is it? Hafiz Nazir. Every way Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. How can Maulana Dawood be the Imam of Salatul Isha if Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam is everywhere? How can? But I am ending the topic, inshallah. This is, Musabai, 1 minute, I'll finish it. This is the translation of the Quran written by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Barelvi. The main man, the founder of Barelvism. So always label them as to be Barelvis, not Sunnis, because they are not Sunnis. Sunnis are those people who follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just a translation of Surah Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, Rahman. Ar-Rahman, who is Rahman? Rahman is Allah. Allama al-Qur'an. Rahman ne Qur'an ko sikhaya. The translation he has done, apne mehboob ko Qur'an sikhaya. Apne mehboob. Where do you get the word mehboob? We don't know. Khalaq al-insan. Khalaqa means to create. Insan means insan. The translation is Allah created insan. But he makes the translation, insaniyat ki jaan Muhammad ko paida kiya. And he says, you see, the translation we make is with love. The translation you make is with no love. By introducing and adding and taking out, adding and subtracting words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, Allahu Akbar, to make amal on the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair.